We give thanks to the grace of the Lord. That this is the first testimony session for the NYTS. And thank God this year, we have three brothers and sisters who would like to share with every one of us about their life. Huh? And the interesting thing is that we have a sister Ariane from Vancouver, and we have brother Brian Lee from Korea, and then we have brother Nathaniel from US. So we actually have three brothers and sisters all from different parts of the world. And it will be a wonderful, this is what NYTS is about. You know, that you take this opportunity to see the life, to learn the life from all different parts of the world. Help you to learn how to appreciate where you are and what you have. So I'd like to remind all the students during the testimony, please do pay attention to be courteous, to show your respect. Please do pay attention to the person who bear testimony. And also for those who are giving testimony, please do remember, blessing is for us, but glory belongs to God. First of all, we would like to invite Sister Ariane.
Okay, I'll talk into this one. Okay, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, I testify. Can we all just bow our heads and pray in silence for a second? Okay. Hallelujah. Amen. Can you guys hear me? Is this good? Where I am? Okay. When I was younger, believing in God and coming to church was simple. And faith was so easy when I was younger because everything was based on the simple fact that God loves me. At church, it didn't matter what song we were singing or what Bible verse or story we were listening to. The bottom line and the fact of the matter at the end of the day was that He loved us. He loved us so much that He could spend our whole lives trying to tell us just how much, and we would never really understand. As a kid, the very thought that there was someone out there loving me was enough to convince me that I was so blessed and so lucky. But somehow, as I grew up and life began to complicate a little bit as a teenager, as it tends to do, so did my simple faith. And the greatest thing that had fueled my faith before, which was God's love, became the most challenging part for me to understand. Somewhere along the way, I had gotten the idea in my head that I wasn't good enough and didn't deserve any kind of love at all, not from God or anybody else. And so my faith that had been based on this amazing, unconditional God who just wanted to love me stopped making sense. I totally rejected the notion, and slowly my heart began to fall away. I went through several years of being distant from God, but I still went to church services every Friday evenings and Saturdays, even though my heart was already in the world. I had a great emptiness inside of me, and even when things in my life seemed to be getting better, I still found that I was so sad. I just like really, really sad about something that I could never put my finger on. And I kept insisting that I could figure this out on my own, the whole like being happy thing that everybody always talks about. And I spent a lot of time trying to do it on my own. And as a teen, for anybody that knew me back then, I would go hiking for months in Hawaii or go to camp in New York or San Diego, and I was always disappearing somewhere and so convinced that I was just the next plane ride away from finding exactly what would fix everything and what it was I was looking for. And about 4 years ago, I was on my latest adventure at a boarding school in Reedley, California, and God opened my eyes to something. I believe it's Sacramento Church, but I'm not 100% sure. was the nearest church to me, and it was a 3-hour train ride away. And the whole year that I was at boarding school, my stubborn heart only made it to one service. But that one service has stuck with me up until now. A couple picked me up from the station to take me to a service, which was being held in a rented building that, if I had to describe it, it was like an abandoned warehouse kind of feel to it. And there weren't even pews, it was just like folding metal chairs arranged in lines. And it wasn't much for the eyes, but as we started hymnal session, my eyes fell on an old sister sitting at the very front, like metal folding chair. And as we sang praises to the Lord, she raised her arms up and was swaying to the music, and she just had like the biggest beaming smile on her face. And sometimes she would lift her eyes up to the sky, and her smile was so big it looked like it might like fall off, like her teeny tiny face. And every now and then she would just take the hand of the sister sitting next to her and give it a squeeze and like just look so excited, as if to say, like, can you believe that we're here, and can you believe how blessed we are? And I stared at the old woman through the entire hymnal session. I don't think I sang a single hymn. And until then, and ever since then, I had never ever seen such like pure, wonderful, like crazy joy in another person. And I just remember thinking, that's it. That's what I'm looking for, like, and that's what I've been looking for this whole time. And although things didn't change until long after that, the experience really stuck in my heart. And even years later, I could never seem to get that old sister out of my mind. But I had a lot of guilt in my heart, and I fed into the oldest trick in Satan's book, which was that I was already too far gone, and that God didn't want me anymore, and that it was too late. But over the past year, God has really been working in my life, and I found myself, even with like my teeny tiny faith, praying to him even when I haven't realized that I was doing it, and I found myself just really missing him, and I feel like there was always a little voice inside of me, like reminding me that there was this God out there that I once knew. And just this past, like in late 2011, my mom posed the idea for me to attend this past 2011 CYC at Cerritos Church in December. And something inside me just caused me to agree right away. I didn't think about it. If I thought about it, I probably would have said no, but I didn't. So I agreed to go. And the weeks leading up to CYC, I found myself praying more and more and trying to draw close to God, but I kept my prayers only at the surface because of all the like fear and the guilt in my heart. And I kept thinking, like, if I really prayed, like, I would, like, what if I realize that God's going to reject me, or if it really is too late, or what if God just really doesn't love me anymore? And so I came to CYC like really with a broken heart, and I didn't know what to expect, but I found myself sitting on the pews, always at the verge of tears and such a heaviness in my heart. But finally, after a few days, I came to the point where I could kneel down in prayer and push all the fear away. And during that prayer, I allowed all the sorrow and the loneliness and the defeat and the guilt to just pour out of me. And I did like the ugly cry, and I could barely get it out, but I like finally just prayed the words, God, I'm so, so sorry. And it didn't take more than 2 seconds after the words came out of my mouth that I felt completely and utterly enveloped in this like immense comfort. And I felt like it was like God's arms were around me, pulling me as close to him as he could. And he just kept rocking me back and forth in his arms as I cried for all the things that I had done to hurt him. And it's so funny and touching to me because I thought to myself afterwards, like, you'd think after all the time I spent running away from him and giving him grief, God would have wanted to play like a little hard to get, like, you know, at least give it a minute after I prayed, you know, to kind of comfort me. But the feeling that I got in that moment was that God had been waiting, like been waiting for a really long time for me. And as soon as he heard those words come out of my mouth, he didn't just like walk, he like ran as fast as he could. And like, it was like he couldn't even wait like another second to welcome me home. And no matter what else I said in that prayer, I don't really remember, but I just felt his words repeating to me over and over and over again, like, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, until I, like, believed it. And okay, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. And it says, verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. 6, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. And I read this verse while I was there, and it, like, really touched me. And I reflected over the years where I was far from God, and I finally realized, like, a really amazing thing. And this is cliche, and it's been said a lot of times, but God truly never left my side. No matter how far I pushed him away, he never went away from me. And even when I wanted him to go, and it was almost like I was challenging him and, like, had this attitude, like, so now what, like, you're still gonna hang around, like, but, like, I recall so many times that I was lying in bed after a hard day, and I swore there was almost, like, I felt like there was someone lying next to me, or when I've been, like, hurt and scared and felt there was someone sitting beside me when there really was no one there. Okay, let's turn to Psalms chapter 34, verse 18. This is another one. This is one of my favorite verses. And okay. Verse 18, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. And yeah, like, even when I didn't read the Bible that often, I feel like every time I open the Bible, I would kind of come to that verse for some reason, so it's very, like, I just really like that verse. But during that prayer at CYC, it's as though God was looking me in the face and shaking me to make me understand that he stayed right next to me this whole time. Also, that one day when my heart barely believed that he could still love me after all this, God could just say, like, do you see? Do you see how I refuse to give up on you even when you push me away, and see how I never ever let you go, not even for a second? And that I looked beyond all of your mistakes and your sins and your brokenness and was just there for you, loving you anyways. And it's been about 7 months since that experience. And today, like, I never thought I could say this, but my heart really is so full of joy. And sometimes I still can't stop smiling. And I think I can finally understand the old sister from Sacramento Church, because the kind of joy that you find in the Lord is everlasting, and it shines out of, like, every part of you, and it gives you a spring in your step and your eyes this sparkle that just kind of says, like, somebody loves me. And nothing compares to it. And I never thought I would be one of those people that gets teary-eyed during hymns or all mushy and sentimental at the very mention of God's love. And to be honest, I used to, like, look at those people and think they're kind of losers. But let me tell you, like, there's no feeling like being a loser in the Lord. And I'm testifying about this because I know what it feels like to just need to hear that God loves you. And as we grow up, we learn more about the Bible and we go deeper into all the important lessons we need to learn to build our faith. But I feel in my heart that there are times that we're all still little kids and we just want to hear, like, over and over again how much God loves us, how much he cares for us, how much we matter to him, and how no matter how far away you are from him, he hasn't given up on you, and how Jesus shed his blood and died on the cross for the very reason that when our hearts are broken and when we're lonely and lost and we're ready to give it all up and come home, he can run to us, wrap us in his big old arms, and just say, I love you anyways. And ever since my experience, the hymn 501, He Looked Beyond My Fault, has taken on, like, a new meaning for me, and I was hoping we could sing it. May all the glory and honor and praises be unto his holy name.
Well, during the testimony, I was doing my usual routine, which is jot down the main point and thinking how to comment on this testimony. But you know what, halfway I just put away my notebook. I said, forget it, I'm not going to do a routine one. Because during the testimony, I can totally feel what sister was talking about. Though that this is a simple, a very cute testimony, but everything that she said goes right here. I can totally feel what she was saying, especially the part that she feels that it's too late, it's too far, it's not going to happen. Especially the part that she feels that maybe God doesn't want us anymore. Because I went through that as well. There's a verse that comforted me a lot during that time. I would like to share with you. It's not my testimony. So, Brian, you're next. Okay. In Psalm chapter 94. In one of the NYTS, I was sitting there after prayer, and I feel that, you know what, it's maybe God just doesn't want me anymore, you know. Why? Why would he want me? Why would he want me at all? He got so many choices, so many good people there. Why would he bother saving me? So it's too late. And when I was sitting on the pew after the prayer, sitting there and knowing, feeling that, forget it. And I just took the Bible and I flipped to this verse just randomly. Never read this verse before. I mean, carefully. Psalm chapter 94, verse 17. Verse 17 says, unless the Lord has given me help, I will soon have to dwell in the silence of the death. Verse 18, when I said, my foot is slipping, your love, O Lord, supported me. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought joy to my soul. So nowadays, every time when I hear any young people tell me that it's too late, maybe it's no use, I show them this verse because the verse comforted me. Hope it will do the same for you. Next, we'd like to ask Brother Brian.
Let us all bow our heads and pray in silence. Amen. Hallelujah. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, I testify. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Brian Lee. I still don't understand all that is said in English during the sermon or during group Bible studies. However, despite the language barrier, there is a reason why I want to testify. I come from South Korea, thousands of kilometers away from here. Korea is not simply a country of K-pop, you know, like Girls' Generation or Super Junior. Korea is a country full of God's grace, just like in the U.S., China, Taiwan, God is alive and present among us. I'd like to share with you all how God has guided me while I was in Korea. As you may already know, Korea is a divided country, and all men who are over 18 years old must do military service for a year and 9 months. Doing military service is not easy. Nowadays, it's a lot better, but before, everyone had to suffer from beatings, insults, and wrongdoings from senior officers or senior soldiers. I had heard many negative stories about military service since I was young, so I was quite afraid of it. It is indeed a difficult experience. Before going to military service, my skin was very, very white. But now, it's dark like this. One day, when I was in 12th grade, I went to attend Sabbath at church and saw a brother who was doing military service. The next week and the week after, the brother kept the Sabbath. I was really surprised. How was he able to come to church every week while he was doing military service? It turns out he did not go to military service through the normal procedure, but had applied to be an officer, which allowed him to take some days off on the weekends. If you become an officer, you have to serve longer, for 2 years and 6 months. But you have a bit more freedom. I decided that this was what I was going to do. From then on, I started to pray for this. I prayed for 3 years. Also, 1 year before applying, I prepared to take the test to become an officer. I woke up at 6 in the morning and exercised for 1 hour and then studied military science. The reason why I prepared the officer exam for so long was so that I would be able to keep the Sabbath. I felt that if I didn't go to church once a week, I would not be able to endure the harsh life in military service. But my parents were not very happy about this. At the time, I was studying at Seoul National University of Education to become a teacher. They thought that by preparing the officer exam, I would fail to become a teacher. Thanks to God's grace, I passed the officer exam and also passed the exam to become a teacher. This was quite a rare happening at the time in Korea. So finally, it was time for me to do military service. I was sent to go and serve in a place that was near a town, while all the others were sent far away to the countryside. It's like out of 100 people, 99 were sent to Iraq, and I was sent close to New York. So everyone envied me. Some people asked me if my dad worked at the army. But no. It's just that I have God behind my back, because I am God's child. My union was 20 minutes away by car from True Jesus Church. Even though I was an officer, I need to be on duty on some weekends, but thanks to God, by praying about it, God allowed me to get permission to come to church every Saturday. When my friends knew about this, they started calling me Lucky Brian. So, was I really lucky? Since I was an officer, I had 30 soldiers under my command. All 30 of them had serious problems. Some of them were brought up by single parents. Some of them even had criminal records. I'm not trying to discriminate these people, but they are relatively more unstable and insecure people. People call me my platoon the bomb platoon. They thought something would go wrong anytime. Also, I worked together with my senior officer in the same unit. Unlike me, he was very harsh in character. From the first day, he interfered in everything I did and made me do his work. Whenever he had a chance, he insulted me. He attacked me with cruel words that I will never forget. And I had to use the same room as him. Usually, when training is over, I come back to my room. It's around 11 p.m. If I lie down in the bed to sleep first, he would always put on K-pop music really loud or talk to me. Also, he was obsessed with cleanliness. In the summer, I couldn't even open the window because he didn't want dust to come in the room. I had to do all the cleaning, laundry, and cooking. So now, I can cook very well. So if you come to Korea, please contact me. I'll make you Korean food, and I can even make Chinese food. Anyway, even though he mistreated me, I obeyed him. I did not resist or file a complaint to my superiors, because in the Bible, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5, it says, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ. apart from this, I also had to go to drinking parties. In the beginning, there are lots of drinking parties, sometimes up to 4 times a week. The army in Korea has very authoritative culture. If your superior tells you to do something, even after your shift is over, you have to obey him. That's the rule. So I had to go to these drinking parties, but I never drank the alcohol because I'm God's child. But just the fact that I had to attend these parties was a lot of pressure. Also, because I had so much work and training, I could not sleep more than 4 hours a day. My mind and my body became tired, but God trained me. I woke up all in the morning and went to pray in another room or pray underneath the blanket. Sometimes, while I was doing training, I went to the bathroom to say a quick prayer. I had a small Bible with me, and I read a chapter of it every day. That's what made me able to endure my military service. I did my best in my duties, and God guided me and answered my prayers. After 2 years and a half, wow, the soldiers that were under me were discharged without any problem happening. The senior officer that harassed me failed to get promoted and had to do the rest of his military service in another location under a senior officer that treated him worse. God also helped me avoid drinking parties. They would often happen when I would be on leave or sent to another place for training. Once, there was a drinking party while I was on duty. The people got too drunk and caused some trouble, and everyone except me got punished. So today, I've been discharged safely, and I'm able to share God's grace with you. So, do you think I'm lucky? Should I be called Lucky Brian? Let us read Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 9. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 9. But we pray to our God and posted the guard day and night to meet this threat. Nehemiah prayed and guarded the wall day and night. To the children of God, there is no such thing as luck. All we do is live in God's grace. But we do not live in God's grace just like that. We have to pray day and night and strive to get it. They may be why we are all here today at NITS, to ask for His grace. I wish with all my heart that we may all be filled with God's wonderful grace. My testimony ends here. Let's all bow our heads and pray in silence. Amen. And thanks, Tina, for translating this script. Thanks, God.
Thank you, Lucky Brian. I mean, Brother Brian. you know, I was looking at my notes now. I have no idea what I wrote. It's just funny. But though it's very interesting. But first of all, he's very brave. Can you believe? So brave, no? Come and share the grace of the Lord in English with everyone. And you know, I understand everything that he said. And second thing is that, you know that probably 99% of you will not be serving in the military. So this is a great opportunity to listen what is it like when you are being put in a position that's not very friendly to your religion. Brothers and sisters, if you are in US, Canada, or Europe, you don't see these things. So a lot of times we take everything for granted. We feel this freedom of religion is how they're supposed to be. Now, Brother Brian fight for it. He fought by preparing himself 3 years to become an officer, not so that he can yell at people, but so that he can keep his faith and attend the service. That's called having a dream for the Lord. Be courageous for the Lord. He trained himself, wake up so early. It's called having a dream for the Lord. Brothers and sisters, many times we have many dreams in our life, but how many dreams that we have is pertaining to our faith. We put in a lot of effort to pursue for many things, but how many things that we pursue are related to our faith? Brother Brian is taking a risk of failing his teacher's exam and being kicked out by his parents. I made that one up. But the parents will be very angry at him if he failed the teacher's exam, right? But he is willing to do it. How far would you go? It's wonderful. It's just beautiful. It's just wonderful. And last thing that I would like to call to your attention, Brother Brian, he knows how to clean. He also knows how to cook Chinese food too. And I think he's still single, right? Please bear in your mind. Next, we'd like to ask Brother Nathaniel.
Okay, let's bow our heads and pray in silence. Amen. So in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I'd like to testify to His grace to our campus fellowship during my senior year in college. Just to introduce myself real quickly, in case you don't know me yet, I'm Nathaniel. I was born in New Jersey, and I eventually went to the University of Illinois for college, and now I'm in the Washington, D.C. area for graduate school. The story I'm about to tell you, to tell you the truth, I haven't really told that many people, even though I have told a few. In general, I've kept it to myself because a lot of things had happened, and I didn't really fully understand everything for quite a while. But it's been about 5 years since my senior year in college, and I don't think I'm going to understand any better now, so hopefully I can present it to you well. Another reason was that I also feel like that I have a little bit of trouble doing justice and giving glory to God in this story, because every time I tell it, I feel like it's not the same, right? It's almost like you just have to be there to kind of know how all of us felt and how everything was like. But today, hopefully, I can still glorify God, even though I might not be able to tell it or give justice to the whole story. And I also don't know, one other reason I've also kept this sort of to myself is that I don't really know how much I can edify the brothers and sisters, because I know that many members do not really know what it's like to be in a remote area. But hopefully I can still edify some, and hopefully through the lessons that I've learned, you can also be edified. And I also find that today here at NYTS, it might be a good opportunity for me to share this story, because since it happened my senior year in college, I think it's relatable to you, and also it's also relevant to our theme of Need You to Serve. So to share with you a background of the University of Illinois, the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign is actually located in a very remote area. It's about a 2.5-hour drive from Chicago, and Chicago is the nearest city, right? And it's a nice town. It's not as rural as I guess some people might think about it, right? We still have, you know, a movie theater, we have a mall, we have supermarkets like everyone else. The only thing is, you know, we have there's cornfield right next to the mall. And, you know, every so often when the south wind blows, you can kind of smell the farms down south, right? But University of Illinois is a really nice campus, and I chose to go there because I felt that going there, I would learn a lot more, right? Learn how to keep up my spiritual life better, also learn academically. And the University of Illinois also had a youth fellowship there. From what I understand, the youth fellowship there actually started years before I was there. There were four brothers who, from the East Coast, that decided to all go to the University of Illinois at the same time. And that's when the youth fellowship started. And a couple years later, I also got there. And the fellowship there had consistently about, 5 to 10 believers there. And every Sabbath, every Friday night and Saturday, we would have services, generally a Friday evening Bible study. And on Saturday mornings, we would have, we would listen to or watch a sermon recording. And then in the afternoon, we would also have another Bible study. From my freshman year all the way to senior year, we had a fellowship. And even though the numbers changed every so often because people come and people go, but thank God we had a fellowship there and we all worshiped God together. But then by my junior year, I realized that I was the last freshman to enter the University of Illinois. During the 3 years that I was there, no other church member had decided to go to the University of Illinois. But at the time, it didn't really matter, because we had a pretty strong fellowship. During my junior year, we had 5 members in the fellowship, and I roomed with 2 of them, and there were another 2 members, an older sister from Taiwan, who was studying in graduate school, and then there was another brother who had just recently believed. But I roomed with 2 brothers, and these 2 brothers were really amazing workers. If you know them, right, they were amazing during their when they were in campus fellowship. Even now, I still feel like they're amazing workers, and undoubtedly they will be pillars in the future as well. So we had a really strong fellowship during my junior year, and I realized that I relied a lot on these two amazing brothers that I would also call my best friends, right? Because even though we had two Bible studies a week, but the three of us would rotate. So almost every week one of us would be leading Bible studies, and we would just keep going because that's how we kept up our faith, right? And then since we lived together every Wednesday evening, it was very easy to gather together to pray together. And it was really, it was a good time, right? And I usually have pretty fond memories of my junior year. But at the end of junior year, both of these brothers graduated and left, right? And I realized that it was just me and these two other members. And these two other members, they were good members, but at the same time, they weren't really in the serve stage of their life, right? One was a new believer, and every so often he might not show up to services. And then there was the older sister from Taiwan. She would only attend on Friday evenings, and she would not come on Saturdays because she preferred to spend most of her time on Saturdays to study. So when senior year came around, I felt very scared because I would be the only person to serve, right? And I had a lot of fears for myself because the two brothers that I had been serving with were now graduated. I would be alone and friendless. I was afraid that I myself would not be able to survive because, you know, the closest church is 2.5 hours away. How can anybody help me in this area? I had fears for the fellowship because I felt like all the pressure suddenly became on me, right? That I had all the responsibility for keeping this fellowship together, even though there's only three of us left. And I also had a resentment toward God because throughout the 4 years that I was there, there were brothers who had applied to the university, even gotten accepted, but at the same time, they decided not to go. And when I first went to this university, I knew that this was a possibility, but I always thought that God would provide, right? But in the end, no one came, right? So I guess I had a certain resentment toward God because I didn't know why exactly I was there. But in the beginning of that year, the three of us gathered together for the first meeting, and it was a Friday night, and we all decided, you know, even though it's just the three of us, let's just keep going. Right. Let's keep having services, even though the sister still would only attend on Friday evenings. But we decided we'll keep having Bible studies on Friday evening. We'll still watch sermons on Saturday mornings. And instead of having another Bible study, since we didn't have the manpower, in the afternoons we'll just have prayer. And we decided we'll read the book of Matthew because it's a nice book to read. So after we started that first fellowship meeting, I actually received the contact information of a potential truth seeker. Right? Someone told me that there was a friend of a friend who was in town and asked me to contact her because she was possibly interested, right? And I was like, man, I don't even like to talk to strangers, and I don't even know if this person speaks English. But I went ahead and called her, and I was like, ni hao, ni yao lai gen wo men ju hui ma, and I didn't know what to say, but I was like, okay, and I sort of, through butcher Chinese, asked her to come. And she was like, yeah, okay, yeah, sure, I'll do that, right? And we picked her up, And she must have felt really weird because it was just, it was me and this other brother. The other brother had a car. And we picked her up and we brought her to the apartment because we were meeting in an apartment, right? And it was just three of us, right? And I also felt really nervous because we were reading Matthew, and Matthew chapter 1 is about the genealogy of Jesus Christ, right? And I was leading a Bible study, and I was like, man, this is not the right Bible study to lead this off with, right? But in the end, I got to know, well, we all got to know her background better, that she didn't really know Christianity that well. And so going through the genealogy, we were just basically saying, do you know this name? Do you know David, right? Or do you know Abraham, et cetera, right? And it sort of became like a true seeker class, even though we were reading or doing Bible study on Matthew chapter 1. But then that Bible study, she was telling us that she encountered a problem, right? When she first got to the campus, she had already signed a contract with the apartment because she wanted to live there. But as a moving in gift, a friend of her gave her a cat, right? And it turned out that the apartment that she lived in did not allow pets. So what she decided to do was to sign with another apartment building and that allowed pets, and then she would live there. And she was planning to break her previous contract so that she can live in the new apartment. But I guess she didn't realize that she couldn't break her contract, right? And she had to basically pay for both apartment buildings apartment units at the same time. And she was looking for somebody to sublet, but the University of Illinois is really a campus town. So once the semester starts, there's no one would want to come in, right? So we're like, oh man, this is a tough problem. And you know, Lord, why when you bring this to True Seeker in, right, why do you give us a problem right away? But we weren't really sure what to tell her. We're just like, okay, just pray about it. And she was like, I've been praying about it, right? And we also just prayed together. So the next week, we decided to pick her up again to have her join Bible studies. And she was like, oh, good news, right? I already found a sublessee, right, to take my previous apartment. And I was like, oh, thank God, right? I didn't really know what to say because it kind of sounds corny to make a big deal of it or like to say more than that, right? But to me, I was just really surprised really amazed that God would answer the prayer so quickly, right? And then we had Bible study again, and that weekend we decided to have dinner together, and we got to know her even better because we had dinner together to celebrate a couple of things, right? That for her getting a sublessee, and the older sister also experienced grace from God that she was dealing with a grade change and was able to get it. And then I also received a provisional admittance letter from graduate school at that time. So we ate together, and I felt like, wow, we actually have a true seeker to add to our fellowship. And thank God, because it was a while since we've had a true seeker. After a couple of months in November, we decided we would have a Thanksgiving dinner together, because since most of the people in our fellowship were from Taiwan, I guess they're not familiar with having Thanksgiving in November, right? So we thought, okay, it'd be nice to, you know, bake a turkey, just make a simple dinner together. And this first true seeker then brought her friend, and we decided to have Thanksgiving dinner together, and it was just a lot of fun, but we thought, you know, it was just a activity, and we didn't really think much of it. It wasn't until after Thanksgiving break that this friend of the True Seeker also came to Bible study. And I was like, okay, I'm not really ready to take another, or like, I didn't really understand, right? Like, why would God bring another truth seeker? Because it's really a time for our fellowship to fall apart, not really be built up. But this friend, this truth seeker brought her friend, and she also came to Bible study. And then she also told us that she had a problem, right? That she was dealing with the financial services in University of Illinois for quite a while, right? That she was taking 10 credits of classes, and she decided to drop a class and add a class, and it became 8 credits, right? And she was fined $3,500 for changing classes, right? And she was like, that's kind of messed up. So she decided to write a complaint to the financial services about that. And she had written it early in the semester, and for 2 months, nothing had happened. Right? Actually, they charged her even more for not paying that $3,500 as a late fee. Right? And she was like, this was really bothering her a lot. And we're like, what can we really do about that? Let's just pray about it. And so the following Monday, she actually went to go see the financial services office. And since her English wasn't that great, she asked if I can join her to help her out. And when we met with the financial services, they were like, oh yeah, this $3,500 fine is not right. And they realized that what happened was that she turned from a full-time student to a part-time student. And then I guess because of that switch and transition, they thought that they had to charge her another $3,500, but it was actually a computer error that they charged her that extra money. Right? And so not only did she not have to pay that money or the late fee, but the whole thing was canceled, right? That all the money was, she did not have to pay, and she did not have to worry about it at all. And I guess when I was there, I was like, how is this so easy, right, that God would answer these prayers so quickly? And so even such a problem like that just resolved itself so easily. And so from then on, that second truth seeker started to join our Bible studies as well, very consistently on Friday evenings. And basically our Bible studies were really, I guess, really joyful, right? Even though it was a lot of work, but it was like a truth seeker class, and every time that we shared, I really felt that they were being edified. Later on, in the winter break eventually passed, and then we came back for a spring semester. And during the spring semester, about 2 weeks into the semester, the first truth seeker brought in another friend. Right. And I realized that our fellowship had doubled. And when I thought about that, I guess I was really shocked, right? Because the whole time I thought that I was just here to survive this 1 year. But God just gave us three truth seekers in 1 year. And it's not like I did anything, right? Truth seekers just came in and in. And when this third truth seeker came in, she also had a problem, right? And she was saying that she was feeling a lot of anxiety for being in the graduate program that she was in. In the end, she didn't really stay long because I guess the answer to her prayer for that anxiety problem was to go back to Taiwan. So she stayed with us for about 2 months and then returned home. But I was really amazed that, you know, that at one point God just doubled our fellowship, even though I don't know how, right? I should also mention the stories about these two other members that were there with us. I mentioned about this older sister from Taiwan. and that she didn't come on Friday evenings. Right? And I remember one time in October, I had a lot of trouble sleeping. And one of the reasons I had trouble sleeping was that I was just thinking about this sister, right? That I don't know. I don't know why I was so bothered, but I just thought that, because she's about the age, well, she's not that old, but she could almost be my mom, right? And I was just thinking that she was working really, really hard for her graduate studies, and that's why she decided not to come on Saturdays to join us for services. But I thought, you know, what if she really were my mom, right? And I saw my mom working so hard and not coming to services, right? Would I not say something about it? Would I not do something about it? And I remember that I usually sleep early, right? But then I couldn't sleep for 2 hours. And then she called me during those 2 hours saying that, you know, could I come by the following day to help her with a few things? Because being a student, being from Taiwan, she also needed some help with English stuff, right? So the next day, yeah, I went over and tried and helped. And I didn't really know what to say, but I just told her, you know, it would be really great if you could join us on Saturdays. And she felt really bad about it, but she said, no, really, I can't, right? I really need to study. And I thought, okay, that's your choice, that's fine, right? And so for that whole year, she did not come to Saturdays for service. But I found out a year later that a preacher had gone to Champaign to visit. And when he visited it, I don't know really what happened, but from that day forth, after that minister visited, she started to attend Saturday morning services every day, every week from then on. Right? And it wasn't until actually a couple months ago that I heard from someone who had visited her in Taiwan that she remembered that day when I actually mentioned that to her. Right? And even though that day I didn't realize the fact or what, I just thought, you know, I just did my best and you know, whatever was her decision, but I didn't realize that actually that was one of the starting points. Right? And so even though the sister's faith also grew a lot during the years that she was in Champaign. And I really thank God, right? Because from before she came to the university to after she came to the university, I really saw her grow a lot, right? And then finally, the last member of our fellowship was a new believing brother. And he had just been baptized for, I think, 2 years. Right? And I mentioned that sometimes he didn't really attend services either. But during the beginning of the year, he said, you know, why don't we have Bible studies at my apartment, right? Because the apartment that I was living in was kind of smaller and darker, right? But he had a really nice apartment, and he also had the car, right? So we decided that we would have hold our fellowship at his place. And he not only mentioned that, but he also said, you know, if you need help, why do I help you with Bible study, right? But he didn't really have the Holy Spirit at the time, and he really didn't have experience leading Bible study. So even though I gave him a short Bible study training, but we decided that if I could lead Bible studies, then I would do it. But this brother really became a comfort to me because I saw him become not only a brother, but he became a coworker, right? And it really alleviated a lot of burden to me because I had someone to talk to about things. And he just became a really, really good friend, right? Because we worked together and we cared about the fellowship together. And I guess it was a difference between before that year and during that year that I saw him also grow to serve, right? And to do his best to always serve. And he always kept his apartment really, really clean, which I was really impressed with too, right? And he can also cook, right? So, after the year passed though, I was graduating and this brother would still be there, be at the university, and so would the two tree seekers that had remained, and so would the older sister. And I felt that when I left, what would happen to all these members, right? Or at least all these people in our fellowship. And that's when this brother decided to go to NYTS, right? And it was NYTS 2007. He came. I also came as a counselor and was here in Hillsborough. And during that time, we really prayed that he would receive the Holy Spirit, because we knew that he would need it. And God answered that prayer too. It's just like perfect timing that when he needed it to lead the fellowship, God gave him the Holy Spirit at the right time. And from then on, I felt really relieved because I knew that God would take care of everything. And then, I guess the story for myself, I told you how I had a lot of fears in the beginning of NYTS. A lot of fears at the beginning of the year, right? And, but I realized that even though that year was so difficult, I felt so much pressure because I felt that, you know, all the responsibility had come upon me, right? That what happens if I fail to lead Bible studies right, right? What happens if I did something wrong? What happens if I don't pray enough? What happens if, you know, there's so many things that could go wrong? And I realized how vulnerable the fellowship was. And so I felt a lot of pressure, right? But I realized that during that year, I really learned how to serve, right? That because I cared so much, right, that it really drove me to pray. And every day I would pray, and I realized it was so easy to pray, right, because there was just so many things on my mind. Every day I would pray for every member in the fellowship. And I found it easy to fast and pray too, right? So before then, usually, you know, to pray 10 minutes a day, I find, even though I had a habit, but I didn't really see how people can pray longer on a daily basis. But during that year, I just found it so easy to just keep praying, right? And I realized that God was just teaching me to care, and then to pray, and then to serve. So I mentioned that I was really worried about the fellowship about when I would leave, right? And I was going to graduate school, and at the time I was thinking maybe I should just stay in Illinois, because if I leave, there would be no one to really take care of all these people in the fellowship. And I applied to nine programs, and at the end I got into three. And finally I chose to go to Baltimore near the Washington, D.C. area. And when I look back in my journal, I realized that the school that I'm now at was actually second to last in my choices, in my own ranking. But at first I really wanted to stay because I thought that, you know, I needed to help the fellowship here. Who's going to take care of the fellowship when I'm gone? But there was one in the spring, the school required us to go visit before they would accept us, right? So I decided to go visit, and when I went there, I realized that my concept or my impression of going to the Baltimore area was changed. because when I went to school, I realized that it was just perfect for what I was looking for in a graduate program. And then I also went to the DC services on that day. A sister picked me up, and then we picked up her adorable little brother, and then we went to services together. And there were only 15 people there, but I realized that that I could really be here and serve there too. But I was still worried about the fellowship in Champaign. But then I realized that it's not really for me to take care of, right? It's really God to take care of. And in the end, that prayer was answered during the NYTS 2007. So a year later, I went to the graduation ceremonies of the two Tree Seekers. And it turned out that the end of the fellowship came to a perfect end, right? That the two Tree Seekers graduated at the same time. The older sister also graduated near the same time. And the brother, the new believing brother who eventually took up the fellowship, decided to transfer out to where a church, to a place closer to church. And so one Tree Seeker right now is in Indiana University, or University of Indiana. She is not a believer yet, but I still pray for her. Right? And there's the other Tree Seeker is in Taiwan and also not yet a believer. But the older sister also returned to Taiwan, and I hear that she's doing very well, that her faith has been very strong. And this new believing brother is actually among the East Coast churches, and he's doing pretty well as well. So even though God has shown us many blessings during the time, but I think the greatest blessing that I saw was that all of us grew so much, right? That from the beginning of the fellowship to the end of the fellowship, we actually really knew God better and drew closer to him. So I'd just like to share a couple of lessons that I learned during that year, that over the years that I've been thinking about it a lot and that I realized, right? But I guess one case is that, you know, no situation is hopeless. I think a lot of times we feel that the situation of the church or the situation of our fellowship might be poor or might not be what we expect, but Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20 tells us that God can do beyond what we think or what we ask, right? And so we haven't even touched how much God can do. God can do so much more than we can ever see. I guess the second lesson that I learned was that, you know, where two or three are gathered in his name, there he will be in the midst of him. Because even though there were just a few of us in the fellowship, but every Bible study, I just felt the righteousness, peace, and joy. And it was like the ideal church setting to me, right? I guess the third lesson is that evangelism is actually easy when God is working, right? Sometimes we worry a lot about evangelism, but it's really when God works that people come in. And I tell you that I did nothing, right? I really did nothing. And our fellowship doubled, and I just don't know how that happened. But when God is working, evangelism is actually pretty easy. Fasting prayer is also very powerful, but at the same time, it is really only in a crisis situation that it works. Right? And I realized that for me, I felt like I was in a crisis, and I had to pray. I had to fast. Right? Sometimes we fast here, and it's a good training for us, but when we're at home and we realize that there's a fasting, there's a crisis situation, let us fast. Right? But I guess the most important lesson is really to care more, to pray more, and to serve more. Right? Some people care, but they don't pray, and they don't serve. Or I guess in some ways, some people pray and they serve, but they don't really care. And you can tell in their prayer, in their service, right? Some people care, and some people serve, but they don't pray. And at the same time, you realize that they may lead in the wrong direction. And then there are some people who may care and pray, but don't serve. And you realize that their power is also not enough, right? So in Deuteronomy 4, verse 6, verse 5, it says that we should love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. And in many ways, I see that as caring more, praying more and serving more. And sometimes it's really a choice, right? A choice to care. Sometimes we don't care, but at the same time, it's really whether or not you want to care or not, right? And if we choose to care, we can see that we can have more power in prayer and also more power to serve. So I guess just to conclude, we know that NYTS means need you to serve, right? But I think the real lesson is that it's really need you to care, right? Or need you to pray, and then need you to serve, right? It really starts with caring, that we're able to pray, and then we're able to serve. So I hope, as I mentioned, I don't know how well I can glorify God or edify people, but may God's name be glorified, and may all the brothers and sisters be edified. Amen.
Well, Tom, for all the testimony session that I have helped to lead, this is the most difficult one to comment upon. I don't know what to say. Some of you might feel weird. For you, you don't know, you probably don't know, or you cannot grasp onto the point of the testimony. You don't know why. Why is it so heavy for him? You will know if you grow up. In the future, if you have opportunity to learn what does it mean to be lonely, solitude in faith, or isolated, alone in faith, it could be very, very tough. When you are in a place, you feel that you are on your own, and you are a very responsible person. I mean, if you don't care, if you're a person, oh, no church, wonderful, no service, sleep until 12 on Saturday, oh, then you wouldn't feel this. But if you're a person who care about God, care about church, care about the fellowship, then you know what? You will feel, why is he so heavy? The bell rang already, but I still like to take a little bit more time. Did you pay attention to the ending of the testimony? What is the ending? That the fellowship dissolved. Right? That's a fact. Is it a fact? Usually that's not what you expect from a testimony, right? Usually you expect that, wow, then you have three members and then multiply like in another cell, like a cell multiply, and then two become four, four become eight become 16, right? Wow, God's name be glorified. Usually you think that's the only way to show that, wow, this is a miracle, this is a testimony, this is God's power. You need to see things. But why did Brother Nathaniel testify about a dissolved fellowship? I think it's wonderful. It reminds me what we have been learning about Daniel chapter 3, about his three friends. You know, when I joined your Bible study, I asked some group, what happened if they were thrown into the fire and blah, 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 they got burned up to ashes and die? How would you feel? Would you feel, what's going on here? Oh, I cannot believe in this guy anymore. How would you feel? How would you feel if you were Daniel's friend? Before the last minute, been burned down by fire. Ah, man, made a mistake. Should have bowed down just for 2 seconds. You know what? A lot of times we like to judge God's work by results. By result, we want to see the result. If the result is wow, you refuse to work on Saturday, and then God finds you a job with a triple paid. You said no to your boss. And then the boss said, wow, you are such a man with integrity, I will promote you. Usually you think testimony should be like this. No. Actually, the story of Daniel ended at the moment when they say to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, forget it, we don't need to answer to you. The story ended over there already. Whether they live or die, that's not important anymore. Whether they live or they die, they received a credit from the Lord already. Same thing with the testimony from Brother Nathaniel. The fellowship, whether it survived or it dissolved, it fulfilled the purpose of the Lord already. That's a testimony. So brothers and sisters, in our faith, don't just look at the result. No. Result is not the most important. It's the process. It's a process. Please understand that. If you understand that, you will look at the world, look at the church, look at your faith, look at your servitude from a very different perspective. That's all, praise and praise. Amen. Please take a short break and we'll come back for prayer session.